If you'd like to get your Bibles open tonight, to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. Before we get into our message, just give you a little update about how well Kid Crusade went this past week. I have a thank you note that the Humberts have written, and I didn't read it this morning because I wanted to read it this evening. It says, "Dear church family, just want to thank all those who had a part in the decorations for Kids Crusade. You had such a part in the painting and building and setting up and putting away. Could not have done it without you." And so they wanted to make sure. It says, "The Lord bless you all for your godly service, Al and Carol." Very thankful for that. Thankful for all the work that the Humberts did also. They spearheaded that. They spent weeks and months here beforehand getting things ready, and just was a blessing. Was not our biggest Kids Crusade ever, but it was very, very smooth. Did not have very many problems at all. Did not have hardly any type of disruptions when it comes to having to discipline the kids and things like that. And the rain kind of held the kids back a few of the nights, but we had probably about five or six cards that people turned in that they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Excited about that. And on Tuesday night, which was the big emphasis night, when I gave the plan of salvation and talked to them, the older kids, every single older child that was in the room raised their hand that they were saved. So it wasn't like we were at least talking to individuals. Now, do I know if they're all saved? That's not my job to figure out. But at least we were talking to individuals who had heard the gospel before. And we were able to present a lot of wonderful information, talked about different proverbs. We talked about having the ears to listen. We talked about having the right type of heart. We have talked about our tongue. You know, that's an important thing to try to tame. And we talked about having hands to work. And that's something we need to teach this upcoming generation, and even my generation sometimes, about work and work ethic. And then we also talked about friendship and walking with the wise and things like that. And it was, like I said, it was phenomenal all around, from the beginning to the end. It went really, really well. And I am just thankful and blessed for all those that had a part in it. I know not everybody came every night to help. I know a lot of you gave things to help with Kids Crusade, for Let's Make a Deal, for the snacks, and for all those that were helpers all week long, faithful. I know a lot of them have been tired, and they're probably tired even tonight. I know I'm a little bit tired myself, but you know what? God helped us through it, and we had a really, really great week. Very thankful. I don't think it could have gone off any better. And I think the Lord was honored and glorified with all the things that we did. And so we have just very, very happy and thankful and rejoicing. So thank you for all those that had a part in it. I think it was, I talked to some of the young people as I was taking them home, and they said the favorite parts of different things. And some of them said how much they enjoyed the teaching and how everything kind of worked together, from the skit to the lesson time to all the songs, how they all revealed a theme each night and different things like that. So I think the kids got, if they wanted to get something out of it, they definitely got something out of it this past week. And most of the parents that I had the chance to talk to, all the parents I had a chance to talk to, were really thankful and happy with how things went. And we're hoping to get some kids that do not go to church anywhere to come back and visit with us. So we're going to get in those houses and going to invite them to come and be a part of our children's programs. So once again, thank you. I know it takes a lot of time and effort. It takes my time off of ministering to the needs of the congregation for a few weeks as we're setting things up, visiting people and things like that, in order to be able to get things prepared and ready. So thank you for your patience with that, and also for your kindness with your kind words here recently. Okay. So, she still thinks she's at Kids Crusade. So at Kids Crusade they yell a lot. We did not recognize each individual department, but as Miss Carol told us, the puppets did a good job too, and they worked long and hard ahead of time too. And thankful for the parents that stayed around and waited for their kids, but also for the kids that had a part in that. So thankful for all that. Let's look in our Bibles tonight, Psalms chapter 139, Psalms 139. We have probably about at least two, if not three, four different weeks left in this idea of this family, trying to help parents, not only parents, but also help others in mentoring. And this is not just for old, this is also for young, and a challenge to our teenagers too, to try to also to try to help mentor some of the younger ones too. I tell you, one of the people that can have the greatest influence on the other young person's life is someone who's just a few years older. I tell you that I've known a lot of older teenagers that influence teenagers the wrong way, but also you can influence teenagers the right way too. So when we're going through this, and yes, the main aim is toward our parents and toward their families. This is also, though, for those who are part of discipleship and just those that want to stand in the gap for young hearts. So the title of this evening's message is Standing in the Gap for Young Hearts. Standing in the Gap for Young Hearts. And as I was there this past week and talking to the preaching and teaching to the young people, I had the chance. It's been a few years since I've taught all week for that. And I taught 4 of the 5 nights with my wife. You know, as I was looking at the young people, and as you're sitting there listening to the young people listening, you know, my heart was burdened. I sat in the room and I saw probably 20 to 30 kids each night in the 2 different classes that I taught. And a lot of them just had blank stares in their face. And just, they don't know anything about the Bible. Now, I get it. We had a group that were, what we would call regular church tenders, that had an idea of what was going on. Then we had a group that come to church a little while, but then we had a percentage of kids that did not know much about the Bible and the Word of God. And some of the things that we are talking about was obviously first time that they heard some of these things, and that's why we had it. We want to get the Bible into them and the Word of God into them. This morning, to show you how much they knew, one of their van children asked one of our teachers this morning, it was a younger one, a 5-year-old, asked the teacher, "Is God a woman or a man?" And some people sit there and chuckle at that a little bit, but you know, the thought is they're not going to know unless someone teaches them. And we're thankful that they were here in church and someone had the ability to open up the Bible and teach them and show them things. So as I was studying for this message that came to my mind when I saw those young people is when Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. It began to just, you know, I saw so many young people this week that are going their own way as sheep, that they just gone their own way. They've gone astray. And I guess was burdened once again for the need that our young people need someone who's going to stand in the gap for them. Our young people need someone who is going to live for God and do what's right and teach them and train them and mentor them and disciple them. And whether you're 16 or 26, 36, 46, all the way on up, we can have a part in influencing someone else's life. And so that's when I sat there and I looked at them, and, you know, sometimes it's hard. You expect the children, our 3 rules is sit still, sit straight, sit quiet. Pretty simple, only 6 words. Pretty much every child can remember what those 3 rules are. You know, but some of these kids, especially the 4 and 5-year-olds that have not been through school, they don't know how to do that because they've never been trained at home. And I was telling someone earlier today, I rather work with a child that's a little bit older who I know if I'm telling him to do something, he knows it's right or wrong, and he's going to choose to accept it or not accept it. I can deal with someone who is outwardly rebellious, but when that little kid looks up to me like he doesn't have any idea what I'm saying, it's a little bit harder for me to deal with. But when I began to teach and preach the Word of God to the young people, some of it was just like, they didn't know what was going on. When I talked about what a true friend was and what wisdom was, you know, and as we hit them with a lot of different things from the book of Proverbs about how the wise men walk with the wise, and, you know, it's just amazing what people do not know today. There is a generation that's coming on the scene that has been shaped more by our culture than they have been by the Word of God, and it's scary. And you read those little things. I was looking at the news headlines yesterday, and I saw a bunch of things that worries me, and things that are coming on the scenes, and how the culture has just gone anti-God. And the Lord began to burden my heart with this thought: we need someone who's going to stand in the gap for the young people.
The Bible says Ezekiel 32:30. I know I've used this verse a couple different times when it came to this passage of scripture. It says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, we've been talking about in this series on Sunday school with the teenagers and their parents, and weeks before that, we've been talking about entertainment and how it corrupts us. How the wrong type of entertainment will just mold us and conform us into the image of this world. We began this section of the series, this hook in the series, that the devil's trying to throw out their hooks and he's trying to bait us. And he's trying to, as a fisherman does with fish, trying to hook us and trying to destroy us. We talked about how we need to recognize there's an internal problem. And not only do we need to recognize that we have an internal problem, there is a sinful nature that lives inside of us, the old man that lives inside of us. We need to recognize that we need to expose the spirits of this world. We need to try the spirits. We need to see if the spirits are of God or if the spirits are of this world. We need to stop swallowing the hooks of this world and seeing and just saying, hey, it's just music, it's just entertainment, it's just TV, it's just books. What's really going to make a difference? Those things are conforming us into the image of either God or conforming us into the image of the world. And we began the five-step process of corruption. We talked about how there's an attraction. And then after that attraction, we get adapted to it, where it maybe attracted us, but we knew it wasn't wrong. We got used to it till we started accepting that it must be okay. Then we become addicted by it. Then we become alterated by it. And then our spiritual lives are annihilated by it. No, you do not lose your salvation, but you do become useless for God and His service. We then talked about that week in that Sunday school class about the different voices in the world. We talked about how TV and the movies and the video games and the internet, and I believe the most powerful voice in our world today is music, and that how these different things are corrupting many young people today, and how we need someone who's going to stand in the gap for young hearts and continue to do what's right and live for God and say, hey, I'm not going to allow this to happen to my children. And I'm going to do whatever I can to help this future generation to make sure they don't swallow the same hooks that maybe I swallowed or that those that we know of that swallowed. We talk about pulling down strongholds. We talk about submitting our appetites to the will of God, because it's not easy once you've been corrupted by this world and by its entertainment to live for God. It's a hard thing. It becomes addicted to us. It changes us. So three thoughts tonight. And I pray this helps. I pray that this will make a difference in our lives. And I pray this will actually encourage you to say, hey, I want to be somebody who stands in the gaps of the hearts of young people. I think that if we were honest with ourselves and we saw where the world was going and we saw where our churches are going, we see where our schools are going, we just see where America's going in general, there's somebody that needs to stand up and wants to stand in the gaps of these young people. You know, we had somebody that did it for us, more than likely. If you grew up in church and either it was your parents or maybe your grandparents or a godly Sunday school teacher or a junior church worker or someone who drove the bus that stood in the gap and said, hey, I'm going to do what I can to teach this young person to learn to live for God and love the glory to God with all our hearts, all our mind, and all our soul. So three things I want you to think about tonight. First of all, if you want to stand in the gap, you have to be clean. To stand in the gap, you have to be clean. If you really are going to make up that hedge that God was talking about, if you really are going to be a vessel that God can use to help mentor someone else for the cause of Jesus Christ to work in their lives, we have to learn to be clean. We have to be a vessel that God can use for honor. We got to get rid of sin in our lives. We talked about it in Sunday school stuff. We got a class. He says, got to get out, get rid of the old, get rid of the sin, put in the new, and then guard our hearts because of the fact that we need to be clean if we ever want to be used by God. I was talking to somebody this afternoon and I told him a little bit about how I was burdened. We were talking about a certain young person that hadn't come to our church for a little while and how their heart was burdened for them. And they says, I miss them. I wish they were here. And I began telling a little bit about Sunday school class, about Kids Crusade Week and how I saw kids who are lived in neighborhoods that are really bad. But then there's also children there who go to church somewhere. And then there's children here who families are what we would consider good, godly families doing the best they can to reach their kids. And I said, I want to stand in the gap for them. I want to do what's right for them. But, and my heart's burdened for them, but is that enough for me to say, I'm going to get rid of my sin? We can sit there and say how much we want our kids to turn out right. We can sit there and say how much we want to see missionaries called out of our church and pastors' wives and just young people who love God. They don't have to be full-time ministry people. Young people who raise up to love God. But does it burden my heart enough to say that I'm willing to get on my knees and say, I don't want this sin in my heart anymore. I don't want this sin in my life anymore. Does it break me enough to say, I want to live for God and I'm not going to let anything else stop me? Because that's where it begins. Because it starts by being clean. And we thought about this corruption process. And the question is, are we willing to get rid of the things in our life that may be questionable? The entertainment in our life that maybe our young people, we might not think it's that big of a deal. Maybe it's a favorite show or maybe it's some favorite music that really isn't godly. Are we willing to get rid of that to be able to stand in the gap for our young people? Look what the Bible says in Psalms 139. Look what it says in verse 21, some familiar verses. It says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And the next couple of verses, and Brother Jim sang the song earlier, search me. And search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We can talk about wanting to do what's right. We can talk about helping the next generation. We can go through this whole entire series about how we've had to set up safeguards in the lives of all our young people. But does it really mean that much to us that we will actually be clean to where God can say, there's a vessel I can use. There is someone who's willing to stand in the gap. There is someone I can count on when it comes to this family, when it comes to their grandkids, when it comes to their nieces, their nephews, their own children. There is somebody that I can use to help mentor and disciple them. Yeah, we all talk about how much it's important to us. But is it important enough for us to be clean? Are we submitted to His Word in our own lives? Are we willing to change the habits, whether it be reading habits, internet habits, TV habits, music habits, whatever God has put on our heart that needs to change so that way it doesn't become a stronghold in those lives that we influence? Because something that we might consider that really isn't a stronghold or just maybe a weakness is something that could be the floodgates open for your child when they see that it's okay for you to do, then they're going to expand that to a greater point. Submit your own will to God. Without going over this idea of submission to God, because we talk about that in their teen and their parents' Sunday school class, the question is, are we willing to make the changes in our own entertainment habits? This is the starting point. And is it really worth losing our ability to mentor somebody else to keep on to these habits? Is that bitterness really worth it? Is that friend really worth it? Is that TV show or that music, whatever it is it really worth not being able to be somebody who can stand in the gap? The honest answer, it's not worth it. There is no sin that is worth stopping us from being able to influence the next generation for God. There's nothing that's worth it. So I guess want to be open and honest with you that we talk about it, but are we really truly living for God? Are we truly standing in the gap for our young people? Yeah, I know we're faithful, and I know that some of you spent 20 hours, 30 hours, 40 hours last week here at the church doing things for Kids Crusade. You say, Pastor, I'm standing in the gap. But are you clean where you can make a difference? I'm not talking about just sitting there, and that sitting there is important, but I'm saying being ready to be used to influence that child for God. God being a vessel that was clean so He could move and He could speak to your heart and say, hey, you need to say this to this child, or you need to go befriend that person, or you need to mentor, you need to try to help that person. Because I see young people and I see that they need help and they need someone to come alongside them and put their arm around them and try to help them in their walk with the Lord. And I had men that did that for me in my life. But I see people that talk about it. But how many of us really show that and demonstrate that? I know we're all busy, but are we so busy that we don't do the things that God, that's important to God? Second thing I want you to think about is standing in the gap, you have to be clean. And I'm not saying that you that you spoil a child. That's going to hurt the child. I'm not saying that your child, that child sees you. We just had Kids Crusade this past weekend. We have a competition time, and whether you like it or not, the kids enjoy it and brings kids in, and they say verses and they do all these things. If a child sees an adult cheat, that's not standing in the gap. I mean, that's going to hurt them. You can't just to do things. That's why we teach our team leaders, make sure you have a good attitude. Don't do anything questionable at all. Always live completely above board, because why? You're supposed to be a leader. You're leading this team. You want your team to act the way that you act. Boy, that is pretty convicting when you say that about yourself. You want your child to act the way you act. That's what a leader does. Are we clean enough? Second thing is, to stand in the gap, you have to be cautious. You have to be cautious. And here's some things when it comes to parenting that I think that might maybe help a little bit. And if you really want to stand in the gap, and these, once again, this is more of a, it's not an expository message. It's more of a message that just some different thoughts and some different things that has from the Bible. God spoke in my heart about. You have to be cautious. You have to expect the enemy will tempt your teenager, no matter how sheltered you think that you have them, no matter how great you think they are, you have to expect the enemy is going to tempt them. Of course the enemy is going to tempt them. If there's someone that wants to live for God, they're going to be tempted. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Christian school. I grew up in a church that was similar to this. And, I was tempted. Most people would look at me and said, hey, there's a really good kid as I got older in my teenage years. There's a kid that could do something for God, blah, blah, blah. I got tempted. And as a parent, we need to understand that your child will be tempted. The Bible, as we looked in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Even in the best Christian homes, they can be infiltrated by temptation. And the fact is that one sin that every teenager deals with is some type of entertainment. And usually it involves with music, whether it be TV, whether it be internet, whatever it is, they're going to be tempted to do what is wrong, and we need to make sure that we're ready for that. You have to be. And that's, if you're going to stand in the gap, you're going to have to turn around and realize the young person that you see at church every single Sunday that's living for God and trying to do what's right, and it's in your Sunday school class and maybe even helping teach a class and maybe helping ushering, maybe helping in the nursery, they're going to be tempted by God, and you need to pray for them. You need to try to encourage them. You need to come alongside and say, hey, look, I know what you're going through. I'm praying for you. Keep on living for God. I had one man named Bob Boyle who would come up to me almost every single week, and he would say, how's your walk with God? As a 10-year-old, I thought that was the dumbest question ever. You know, he's walking, I'm 10 years old, how am I supposed to know how my walk with God is? But year after year, he would ask me that, and he got me thinking, and he got me thinking, and he got me thinking. And he's someone who tried to stand in the gap for me. And I want to be someone like that. As a pastor, I don't have the ability to do it for all the young people and for all the adults. But we can train others so others can see the need and be right with God and be correct with God and be clean with God, instead of just trying to be a friend, instead of just being a buddy, that I want to try to help someone to become more like Jesus Christ. That's someone that our young people really, truly need. And you got to realize that young people are going to be tempted. Just as you're tempted to do wrong, a young person's temptations many times is multiplied because of all the struggles they face with. Next thing you got to consider is you got to suspect the enemy constantly. Not only do you got to expect it to be tempted, you got to expect the temptation is going to come constantly. In Ephesians 5:15, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And I get the picture there that you're walking and you're looking and you're being cautious. I tell you, we've had a few snakes at our house, not a lot. And I'm thankful for that, because my wife would say we'd have to move. Not out of Elizabeth City, but just move away from wherever the snakes are at. But when, after we've seen a snake here recent, if we had seen a snake recently, when I walk home out of those back pathways, I go over the one bridge and go over another bridge, usually where the ditches are at, there's usually where some of the snakes are at. I'm always walking a little bit more circumspectly. I'm always watching, because I know that the snake could be there. Does it mean I'm afraid of the snake? No, I have a proper fear of a snake that is not, that is dangerous to me. I'm more fearful I had to go home and tell my wife that there was a snake outside. So, cause I don't want to have to pack up and move. So, she's always been very good about it, but I'm walking circumspectly and I'm walking and I'm being sure that I'm not going to be foolish and I'm going to be wise and that I'm going to realize that the enemy is always going to be constantly attacking. And that's what it says here. Not as fools, but as wise. Let me be honest with you. If you think that your child, just because they're a good kid on the outside or whatever, you think that your child is not constantly being attacked, you're being foolish. You should walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly to the point where you see and understand that your child is under constant attack. And just because at one point in time, at one day, you made a decision to do what was right and stop him from doing something does not mean that he is going to get it for the rest of his life. I don't know about you, but I had to be taught more than once many times, and sometimes God has to pull out a 2x4 and smack me right over the head before I'll finally say, okay, God, I get it. We had to really be cautious when we are walking, and we had to understand that this child is going to be tempted, but not only is this child going to be tempted, this child is going to be tempted over and over and over to the point that I need to always be walking circumspectly to be able to stand in the gap, to be able to fight for the young people, to be able to make up that hedge. I got to come to the point where I realize it is a constant battle and it's a constant struggle for that young person. It's got to be a constant battle and struggle for me also to be able to protect them. I should be on my knees praying for them. I should be doing what I can to be clean so God can use me and can speak to my heart about what the issues are in our lives. Let me be honest with you. I would encourage you to ask your children questions. Expect them to be truthful and honest with you. You know, have you looked at something on the internet you shouldn't have? What type of music are you listening to? I told you not to do this. Have you done this recently? So, well, they're just going to lie to you. If your child respects you, there's many times they'll just tell you the truth and that they're sorry. And that's what a child should do. And because of that, they get their whatever punishment they may have, but it's going to release them from that jail cell of that sin that they have. And it's important. It is a constant thing. And that's why we need to constantly be clean. How do we apply this to our own lives? We need to be cautious. And we need to walk circumspectly. We need to be realize the enemy is going to constantly attack us. We can't let down our guard. Next thing is, how do we walk cautiously? We look for warning signs. We do not ignore the Holy Spirit promptings in our hearts. We look for warning signs. We do not ignore the Holy Spirit promptings in your heart. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Oftentimes, God will pinpoint a warning sign, a fallen countenance, a behavioral shift, a change in attitude, a young person growing away from you. And I know the culture will say, that's just them being a teenager. They don't need you as much anymore. I think that's a lie. I think that the devil's telling you that, telling your kid that, so that way you don't get involved in their life and you let them go do whatever they want to do. And they end up, in the end, not needing you because they don't want what you want. It's important that we stay close to them. If the Holy Spirit's voice is speaking to your heart in that gentle, still, small voice, don't ignore the spiritual intuition that God has given you. It's the worst thing you can do. If God is prompting your heart about an issue, respond. How will God prompt your heart? It's when you're clean. So when you're serious about it. When you're doing what you can and praying and seeking God's face, God will then help you know when there's a problem. I tell you that I have to learn this sometimes the hard way too. I tell you, as a pastor, sometimes people get upset with you. Did you know that? It happens. It happens all the time. Probably most of you at some point in time have been upset with me in one way or another because I did something dumb or said something stupid or just didn't like or as a preference type thing did not like what happened. I get it. I'm sure that not everybody thinks just like I do. And sometimes the Holy Spirit of God has said to my heart, you know what, you need to go talk to that person. And there's been times when I have went and talked to the individual and got things right and just made sure we were okay and the relationship was great. There's other times when I've ignored it and said, oh, that's just the devil trying to cause division and problems. And then weeks and months later, something kind of blows up and says, I'm mad at you. And if I would have dealt with it months earlier, you know what? The problem wouldn't have never been there. And we got to be careful. We got to listen to God. How are we going to get to listen to God? Is when we have the areaway clean, when the lines are not filled with the static of sin. It's when we are willing to be clean. If we're going to stand in the gap, it begins with us being clean, but then we have to be cautious. We got to be willing to understand that young people are going to be tempted. They're going to be tempted constantly, and we're going to need God's help to let us be able to stand in this gap. Next thing I think about is we need to look for the back doors that the enemy might use to gain entrance into your hearts, your teens' hearts, young people's hearts. I don't know about you. I used to do different things to try to get around my parents. I could tell you some stories, but I don't want to tell the young people so they don't try to do it too. But we used to do certain things, and they were wrong. They were rebellious. They took my heart away from God, and I wish I never would have done those things. But we need to be careful, make sure that we all got all the doors secure. This morning in Sunday school, I gave this illustration that, you know what, if you're going to get this great security system at your house and you had three doors at your house, our house back there, we don't have a security system right now except for our little Chihuahua. And you don't want to mess with that. So it has three doors. It had the front door, it had the back door, and then we had the garage door. If I was going to put a security system in there and all I did was guard the front door and had the best security system in all the world on the front door and left the other two doors vulnerable, would it make much sense? No, it wouldn't. And I used the illustration this morning that some of us get so hyped up on one certain standard that, hey, I dress better than everybody else or more spiritual, or I listen to just the perfect and right music, or I don't have a television, or I don't use the internet. You know, we get so hyped up on one specific thing that we make sure that one area is set up and is guarded and is perfect. But we leave the other doors open where we don't check on our teenagers' friends, or we don't check on our teenagers' usage on their cell phones, or their usage on their internet, or the uses or the music they're listening to, or we need to make sure that we are guarding all doors, that we need to understand. And you say, how can you ever know what your child is going to do if they want to deceive you? That's why you need the Holy Spirit of God's help. And that's why you got to walk cautiously. Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Secure every area in your house. You know, we need to help our young people understand that we're going to be checking on them. You should check if you let your young person have a cell phone. You should check to see who they've been text messaging. You can look that up. If you're the person on the account, you can actually read their text messages. In most companies, you can get that, and they will write out exactly what your young person said to somebody else. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If you're going to let them have that, that's something that their responsibility, and that's something you should do. Your young person should know you're going to check on that. My son's text messages, they go right to my tablet. So I see everything he's saying between him and his friends. So that's break of the personal things. Well, it's not really even his phone. It's actually the phone we use for the house. And we let him and Andrew text like three or four different guys inside the church, and that's it. But most of those guys know that I get those text messages. Why is that? Because I want to check on what he's saying. Now, do I read every single one of them? No. But at the same time, I want him to know that I have access to it. I want to encourage you to make sure you got all your doors covered. I don't see why a young person needs to have an internet on the phone. Well, so they can play their games that have apps like Boom Beach. It's not worth it to have that temptation there just so they can hook to the internet so they can play some stupid game. Okay, their ability to be able to stay away from ungodly things is much more important than leaving them open to doing something that is wrong. And if you do that, check their internet usage. You can do that too. There's a way to do that. There's all types of ways to try to guard the doors. And I know that most people will say, well, a child shouldn't have a cell phone. Or some say, well, just let them. That's between you and your family and how you raise your children. But you can put safeguards there. And I want to encourage you, guard all the doors. Look for ways. Your child probably is not any farther along than you were a teenager. And when you were a teenager, you might used to sneak out of the house or used to have this Christian cassette tape, and you would put wrong music on the Christian cassette tape and show your parents, hey, look, it's a Christian CD, just to try to trick your parents. You know, listen to what your children listen to. There's no reason why they need to have headphones. There's no reason why they need to have their doors shut. There's no reason that you're their parent. You need to safeguard those things. You need to fight for them. If you want to stand the gap, these are things you can be cautious about. And I know that some people are saying, hey, that's just wrong. You shouldn't do that. I've seen too many young people fail. I've seen too many young people fallen. And you say, well, they're going to look foolish to their friends. Are those the friends you want them hanging around with first in the first place anyway? So, parent, the enemy will sneak attack. You got to be prepared. And you know what? You think about it, video games. You know, lots of times they got bad music in the background. Make them turn the music off. Movies that have some rock song that's playing in one section to another section, mute the TV. We have some Christian movies at our house that we've watched, that at least they call themselves Christian. They talk a lot about God, you know, like facing the giants and things like that. Some quality things you can learn things from. But you know, when that Christian contemporary music comes across it, you know what we do? We mute it. You're not going to miss anything in it, but that music and that background music is attracted to the flesh. And you can argue, you know, what is good godly Christian music and what's not. I tell you, if it is attracted to our flesh and not attracted to the spirit, they're contrary to one another. It's going to make one happy and one unhappy. Am I against, you know, contemporary music and the idea that it's new music that's written? No, I'm not against that. Obviously, there's new songs that are coming out that are good and profitable all the time. Some people even write those songs. But the music is not immoral, and the idea, it does affect us. And we need to be careful. You need to be guarded in that. You need to be clean with God. Be willing to give up anything that God would ask you to do, and then allow God to bring things into your life that is godly and that is right. I want to encourage you with that. Because you say, well, I can handle it. Can your teen's heart handle it, though? Last but not least, to stand in the gap, first you have to be clean. To stand in the gap, you need to be cautious. To stand in the gap, you have to help correct. You have to be willing to help correct. You have to be willing to get involved. I was reading for the message and studying. I read about a billboard that they had in California a few years ago. And the billboard, they had a teenager there with his headphones on, and he says, probably not music, but you can influence your child about alcohol. And so they says, look, you probably can't guard what your child's going to listen to when it comes to music, but you can influence when it comes to alcohol. You know, I shudder when I think about that, because you know what? You can influence your child when it comes to music. You can influence your child when it comes to what they do when it comes to entertainment. If you don't, then you're not being sober. You're not being vigilant. You're not believing that there is a devil out there. Because how do they get to the alcohol? Many times it's through the forms that entertain it, whether it be through music or through TV or the internet or their friends. You know, that's how they get there. So let's stop it before it gets there. So we have to be willing to help correct. We have to be willing not to buy into the culture lies that you cannot influence your child. The issue remains, do we want to stand in the gap? The issue remains that we have to show our young people that they're not alone, that we have faced the temptations. Sometimes we have even fallen, but God has forgiven us, and that you can have victory. We have to teach our young people that we can become mighty through God. We have to explain to them that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need to live a life that where it's changed, and we've seen God change us, and teach that and show that to young people. Help them understand when it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And millions of teens and their parents are under bondage. They have corrupted hearts. They live in a corrupted prison. But God offers them grace to restore their heart, to cleanse their lives, to restore their joy. Just because God offers us grace does not mean we continue on sinning, but instead we take advantage of the grace of God. We allow God to help us so we can help others. I don't got all the answers. I never said I do. I think I serve a God that does have all the answers. But at the same time, when I see our young people, once again, there is a small group of kids that were a kids crusade that's part of our church family. And inside that group, there's a number of young people who I'm very proud of. And I love all of them. And I think they've done a good job. And when I looked at them and I compare them to other churches or other places, I think they are very highly talented, many times very respectful. They got a lot of good things going for them. But I also know that they are going to be tempted and tempted constantly, and they need someone who's going to stand in the gap, or they're going to end up letting the world conform them. Letting the world conform them into their image. We said in Sunday school this morning, we talked about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word conformed is a neutral word. It means it's either conformed for good or conformed for the bad. That either we're going to let the world conform us into its image of the culture, or we're going to let the Word of God conform us into its image of His Son. What are we going to do? But when I see kids, we have one or two choices. Kids maybe ride the van, or kids we don't see. Kids that are maybe involved with gangs, and kids that maybe don't know what goes on in their homes. But you can tell that they're rough and they're rebellious. Someone's got to stand in the gap for them. Someone's got to care. Jesus Christ died for them also. And we had to be clean first. And we had to stand in the gap for our children here at our church. We got to be willing to have parents that are willing to enter into this fight and this battle and say, young person, I love you so much and I want to guard you against this entertainment, even though you might live a sheltered life and maybe you don't have to face certain challenges and certain temptations. I'm going to make sure that we have a good enough relationship that we can get involved and we can talk about these things and we can be able to work all this out because I love you and I don't want you to turn out wrong. I'm going to get actively involved. I think it'd be great if you went home and have a conversation with your young people tonight, talking to them about different things, encouraging them with different things. Maybe there are certain things you go through, certain CDs, and say, you know what, we don't really need this anymore. Maybe as parents, if God's spoken to our hearts, I don't think we need to watch that TV show anymore. Maybe there are certain things. Replace it with godly things. Bring out godly music. Will they not like it at the beginning? Of course they're not going to like it. Your flesh is going to fight you tooth and nail. Your flesh is going to say, I want this and I want that, but it doesn't matter. What does God want? Get involved in your child's life. Play games with them. Read books with them. Get invested into it to the point where they know that you care and that you love them and that you're not going to let them go down without a fight. They need somebody who's going to stand in the gap for them. So, okay, Pastor, you talk to all the parents. But then I guess the parents are only ones that are responsible for their kids, huh? They are the first one. But we're responsible as a church family, too. I tell you, my dad did not go to church. I had men like Bob Boyle, Gene Stevens, who was Sheriff Otteson's dad, and Louis Lee, who stood in the gap for me. Men who came to my sporting events. Men who picked me up for church, one guy that taught me how to box, you know, just different things. Just different things to just try to help me to become a young man that could serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for them today. If I was going back to Elkton to visit somebody, I wouldn't go visit those friends I hung out with, maybe one or two that I've known over the years. Those are the guys I'm going to go see. Those are the guys I'm going to spend time with because they're the people who made a difference in my life. If you look back on your lives, who made a difference in your life? Now, don't you want to be able to make that type of difference in some other young person's life? You say, well, who do I do? First thing you do is you get clean, you get close to God, and let God lead and guide you. And if you don't know, then come talk to me. I can try to help you. I know a little bit more about different situations than you do, to be able to encourage them. You know, let God use you to stand in the gap for young hearts of the future generation. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Standing in the gap. Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he was moved of compassion. They were as sheep without a shepherd.